Morning, guys. My name is John Jacobs, one of the pastors here at Open Door. It's awesome to hang with y'all today. Had an interesting week in the Jacobs house. My youngest daughter did her best a couple nights ago to chop off her one finger pretty good. Spent a little time in the emergency room. Can you guess which finger she did it to? Little clue, I can't show you or I'd get in trouble. Yeah, that one. So spent a little time there. She got about 17 stitches, putting that puppy back on, and good times, man. You know, and it's just so interesting for me. You know, we're in this series called Live It Out. And man, I hope that you're trying to do this, guys. This is what it's all about, this walking with Jesus, living these things out. But man, life has a way of happening, doesn't it? And all these different curveballs throw at you, and I'm trying to prepare a sermon and think about these things, and life just keeps coming. So, man, I just encourage you to stick with the process no matter what's going on, to just really dive into this idea of, man, it's time we as a church, we as believers start living these things out. And I hope you were here last week. If you were here at any of our campuses last week, we talked about this idea of Jesus and how he wants everyone to come to him, everyone to be touched by him. Remember that? We said it was rated G. This message is rated G for general audiences, everybody. And how we as believers are supposed to be going out and doing that, inviting people, welcoming people in. And as we do that, we welcome Jesus into our life. And for me, it's always crazy how I never know how things are going to, you know, go with people's response to a sermon. But we asked a couple questions. Do you remember them? Who are we bringing to Jesus? Who are we blocking? And there were so many people, man, the whole blocking thing kind of messed people up, you know? Because we've all got those people in our life. And what was really intriguing to me were the people that would come up and be like, dude, I know what you're doing with that little blocking thing, man. Trying to get me to think about whoever it is. And so many people were like, but listen, man, I ain't doing it. I'm not inviting them back in. Not right now. Can't. And I thought, man, how intriguing that this is exactly what it is, that God is trying to teach us these truths. God speaks to us in these times, and we have a choice, don't we? So it's really what we're going to be talking about today. That's why I wanted to bring it up. And I hope maybe if that was you last week and there was someone and you haven't taken those steps yet, listen, it's not game over. God's still speaking. He still wants to do some amazing stuff there. So what I want to do right now is just pray and invite God into this process that he'll speak and not me, and he'll move and not me. So Father, that is my prayer. Man, you have just given us this amazing word, this amazing book written through the power of you, Holy Spirit, and you're here right now. And we don't want to move into this process. We don't want to move into this sermon. We don't want to move into this time without you, without giving ourselves to you. I give myself to you. I submit myself to you. I want your words to come out of my mouth. I want your truth to settle in this place no matter what happens through these speakers and wires, this screen. Holy Spirit, for you to move so we can live this out. Jesus, thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let's dive in. We're going to jump into the book of Luke. We're going to go into Luke today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 9. So if you guys can open up to that. I'm going to be dealing with verses 23 to 25. So I'm going to put it up on the screen here. If you got a smartphone, you want to pull it up on tablet, good old-fashioned Bible, do it. When you get that, why don't you stand up? We're going to give God a standing ovation for this amazing word he's given us, man, the words of life. We just want to honor him as we read this. So let's check out these verses. It says, then he said to them all, Jesus speaking here, whoever wants to be my disciple, to be my follower, to come after me, those people must, not maybe, they must deny themselves. And then they need to take up their cross, not once, not twice, not sometimes, daily, every day, take it up and follow me. For anybody who wants to save their life, whatever life is to them, will lose it. But the people that lose their life for me, for the gospel, for the kingdom, will save it. Listen, what good is it? What possible good can come for someone, for anyone, to gain the whole world, the most amazing thing you can imagine, all your dreams come true, to gain that and yet lose or forfeit their very self, or as some translations say, their soul? So you guys can have a seat. So, as always, I'm just working through this passage. I hope it's how you read the Bible. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What do we need to hear here as a church, as followers? And I'm trying to weave that into a couple ideas and in a sermon title, and what might stick with people. And this one was a little different, so stay with me, okay? Stay with me. So today's sermon is entitled Cross-Eyed. All right? We all need to leave cross-eyed. So bear with me there. I know it's a little strange. And so as we start off, I want to ask you guys a question. Have you ever been somewhere, maybe, you know, you start a new job, you start a new relationship, it's this stage of life, and you're kind of walking through it, you're doing it, and this question comes out of somewhere, you know, or really a statement, like, dude, you know what, this isn't what I signed up for. Anybody feeling me? Like, had those times in your life, like, listen, man, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I expected, okay, when this whole thing started. Not what I signed up for, man. I had this time in my life. Just graduated from college. Got my fancy new college degree. Everybody wants Johnny J, right? And I need to find a job. So back in the day when I graduated, there wasn't the interwebs for people to go look for jobs. Okay? It was just starting, but we didn't use that stuff because it was weird, man. I still have my little word processor, you know. And so what'd you do when you needed the job? You got the newspaper out, man. Put your little quarter in the box, pull it open, get the newspaper, look in the classifieds, get your little Sharpie marker and start looking, right? What's a good fit? Circle this, circle that. So I'm checking it out one Sunday, and I see this ad, man. Do you like rock and roll? Ooh. Are you athletic and competitive? Oh, baby. You know, well, then we want you, young, energetic people wanted, to make up to $50,000 in our advertising firm. No experience necessary. I'm like, dude, this is me. This is awesome. So I call the number, you know, call this number up. Guy's nice, sets me up with an interview, and I go in, and cool guy, young, cool office, I'm digging it, you know. And we don't talk real long. And he just stops and he says, John, I got to tell you, I think you're who we're looking for. I said, I know, dude, because I am rock and roll, man. And clearly I'm athletic, and you know I got no experience. I'm your guy. I'm your guy, man. It was awesome. He said, listen, so, yeah, looks good. Why don't you do me a favor, though? I said, could you come back on Monday? We just want you to hang with us, make sure it's a good fit, see if you like us. I'm like, I can do this, bro. So I get my suit on, I shined up my penny loafers. Remember the penny loafers back in the day? Yeah, I have my nice pair of penny loafers on, and I show up at this place, and I didn't know if they were doing like some demo or something that day, but there's all these people like in the lobby with me, and they're wearing like jeans and overalls and t-shirts and muddy boots. I'm like, what's going on here, man? These people can't be here for the rock and roll job, because that's me, you know? And before long, this lady comes out, and she's got these waiver sheets. Guys, you need to be afraid when you see the waiver sheet, you know? We're not responsible for you today, all right? So I'm given this legal form that I got to sign off, that I'm here of my own free will. So I'm already getting kind of freaked out. And as I'm signing it, I can hear this guy in some back room, like, chanting, like, are you ready? And all these people, whoever they are, like, yeah, let's go! And he's like, it's go time. They're like, yeah, they're going to do this today. And everyone in this lobby is like, what the heck is going on, man? We are all freaked out. So, man, this door busts open. Here come all these people in, like, snow suits and snow caps and gloves. And they just start picking us up. And they're saying, you're with these two. You're with these two. You're with these. And we go out the door. I'm like, what is happening here, man? Make a long story short. I'm already making it long. We were going out. The advertising thing was going out door to door selling these little coupon books, man. Yeah. So I got stuck in this little Ford Ranger all day in between two large men that were chain smoking menthol cigarettes, you know, going out, handing out these little, not even handing them out, trying to get people to pay for these coupon books. I remember it was my birthday. I didn't have a coat on because I was wearing my suit, and I didn't have a coat for my suit. And these home dudes took me back to their apartment and hooked me up with this full-length leather trench coat. I looked like Wyatt Earp walking around with these guys, man. It was horrible. We got the cops called on us. I remember just like, I just want to go home, man. I'm not rock and roll. I didn't sign up for this, man. If I had just known, I never would have gone there, right? Thinking, if I just would have known. So all that to say, in our passage today, this is what Jesus is really doing, okay? He wants to make sure the people that want to follow him, people that want to do this whole thing, he wants us to know, he wants his disciples to know, this is what you're getting into. I want to have the DTR conversation. You guys know what that is? Let's define the relationship. Let's tell you what's really going on. So we're going to look at this passage. And you guys know what we always want to do first is what? When we're looking at any passage of scripture, we want to set the stage a little bit. I don't just want to pick and choose what's going on. Let's always know what's happening here. So right here in this passage of Luke, right before this, Jesus is in this amazing time of his ministry. Amazing. So just directly before this, we have that famous story where this guy Jairus comes. He's got a sick daughter, this 12-year-old girl. And he asks Jesus, hey, listen, man, my daughter's not doing good. I need you to come heal her. And Jesus is like, let's go, baby. I got this, you know. So it says as Jesus was walking, he was so popular at this time. He had already done so many amazing things. It says the crowd was so big to get a look at this Jesus guy that they were literally crushing him. Think of like when a band gets real popular, you know, and you see those scenes. This is like Jesus right now. I mean, at the peak of his popularity, people just want to come be around this guy. And so they're crushing him, and he's trying to make his way through the crowd. And you remember what happened? There was that woman. She had an issue. She'd been bleeding for 12 years, it said. Tried doctors, all these different things, couldn't get cured. Just bleeding. And she's thinking, if I can just get near him, I can just touch him, I'll get healed. You guys remember this story? This lady, we don't have a name for her. And sure enough, that's what happened. She just touches him and gets healed, you know? Imagine having that kind of power that someone could just touch your clothes. And of course, she's like, whoa, I felt power go out for me. Who was it? And she gets freaked out. And she finally admits it was her. And he says, hey, listen, go in peace. Your faith has healed you. And so they keep going. And by the time Jesus makes it to this guy Jairus' house, the 12-year-old girl, she's dead. But Jesus brings her back to life. How crazy is that, man? This is just a great time to follow Jesus. Imagine being part of that group, you know? Like, how cool is this, man? I'm part of this. I'm one of the disciples. And I'm wondering, maybe, you know, with all this going down, like, they're feeling pretty good, you know? And they're thinking, like, they're doing some songs, you know? You guys know I like to sing songs from time to time. Yeah, today's the day, baby. So, listen, I'm thinking that maybe they're thinking, like, you know, a little cool in the gang. Things are going good. It's celebration time, right? Right? Come on, guys. You know? Give me some of this. Come on. Help me out. I need a little bit. So they're walking down. There's a party going on right here. She touched his robe. The bleeding disappeared. So bring the cripples and that dead girl too. He's gonna make you dance and put the life back in you. Yeah! Celebrate good times, Jesus. Yeah, we roll with Jesus. Right? You know? Good times, man. Good time to be a follower. Oh, this is great. So they go back and they got to be sitting down like, dude, it was awesome. You see that girl pop up to life. What? And Jesus starts like he does. He starts switching it up, man. He starts switching it up. He starts talking about, hey, man, I'm wondering, who are people saying that I am? And the disciples start answering, remember this? He says, hey, who do you say that I am? And Peter's the one. He goes, hey, you know what? You're God's Messiah. Jesus is like, yeah, Peter, you got it. But listen, guys, I don't want you telling anybody,
because I'm about to go into Jerusalem. It's coming up. And I'm going to be killed. And I'm going to be raised to life on the third day. These guys got to be thinking like, what are we talking about here? Now, we know how the story plays out, right? These guys don't know this. So Jesus busts this on them, and then we move into right here. Now he wants to talk about them. This is what's going to happen to me. Now let me talk about you guys, if you're really down with this. This is what I want you to understand. That you, if you want to be my disciple, you got to deny yourself. You got to take up a cross every day. Follow me. You want to save your life? You're going to lose it. You lose it for me, you're going to find it. It's no good if someone gains the whole world and yet loses or forfeit their very self. They must have been like, what is going on? Jesus, again, is trying to define for them and for you and for me what it's all about. So let's take a look at this first as we think about living it out. What's he saying? What's he doing? And we have this little thing here. He says, whoever wants, a key word, whoever wants to be my disciple. And we're going to stop right there. Because this, Jesus is doing something very important. These things don't happen on their own, okay? You have to want to be a disciple. In essence, Jesus is saying something very simple here. Following me is for followers. Duh. I have a lot of duh moments in the Bible, so that's maybe more for me than anybody else, man. But a lot of times the Bible is just real obvious, okay? You know, it's interesting, in some translations it actually says, if you want to follow me, take up your cross, you know, and follow me. You know, it's following is for followers, guys. This isn't for people that wanted the t-shirt, hey, Jesus was here, you know. This is one for people that want to come around and sort of see the show or check him out. This is for the people that want to follow me. Jesus isn't interested in just walking around and giving speeches. Jesus isn't interested in just going around and doing miracles. Guys, Jesus didn't come to make converts. He didn't come to get people to pray a prayer, a sinner's prayer. Jesus came for the same thing that he wants us to do. He came to make disciples. That's what he's interested in talking about, making disciples. These are people that want to learn, follow Jesus, to learn from Jesus, to become like Jesus, okay? And it's not magic. It doesn't happen on its own. He gives us things to do. He says so many things in the Bible. He doesn't say, just study this book, you know, just look at this book. I want you to live these things out. He said, guys, listen, all these things I'm doing, you're going to do. You're going to do greater things than these as my disciples, if that's what you want. So it's so important that we start with this question. Have you ever even said, man, God, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to be a true follower. I do believe. That's who he's talking to, the people that are all in. And then he immediately comes to this phrase that's so interesting. Do you want to be my disciple? Is that what you want? Well, here's what I need you to do. I need you to deny yourself. I need you to deny yourself. And again, what does deny yourself mean? A lot of us immediately are thinking, oh, great, man. I came to Open Door in July. It's sunny out. I just need a little pick-me-up. And here's homeboy going to have the whole deny yourself sermon, man. I'm bummed out already, dude. Thanks a lot. Let me guess. This is where you tell me how Jesus wants me to deny all my money and give all my stuff up for him. And I can't have any fun, right? Just deny myself, you know. That's what it's like to be a follower. You know, giving up things is definitely a part of following Jesus, but that's not really what he's talking about here, is he? Jesus didn't say, hey, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to deny your stuff. Hey, you know what, guys? Here's what you're going to do. I want you to deny your paycheck, to deny your money. That's not what he's saying. Jesus said something bigger, something deeper. I want you to deny yourself. You. There's something about you that needs to be denied to follow me. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? You know, really what we're talking about, guys, when Jesus is saying deny yourself, he's letting these guys know, listen, you can't handle this. You can't handle this. Well, that's not what we've been taught, right? I mean, we all know that God will never give you something you can't handle, right? Remember that truth in the Bible, which doesn't exist, by the way?
If you read your Bible at all, you're going to understand pretty quickly in this book. There are tons of stories where God has commissioned people and given people things to do that there is no way they could handle them on their own. Just about every amazing story in the Bible is like that. They're all different, men, and there's no way they could handle this stuff. No way. I mean, come on, man. Noah could handle this commission from God to build this ark for this flood that's never been seen, for these animals that he doesn't know what exists, you know? No, he can't handle that. Moses could handle going back to the land where he killed that guy, and he's probably still wanted to tell this man who basically rules the world at this time to let my people go, even though he can't speak real good and he's a nervous wreck. No, he can't handle that. I mean, Abraham having to go sacrifice Isaac, that's what God asked him to do, his only son, and he could handle that. I got this, God. No. There's something very real inside of us, isn't there? That's always questioning, I don't think I could do this. I don't know if I want to do this. You know? Jesus is being up front. I mean, really what we're talking about is that deny yourself means saying no to you and yes to God. No to you, yes to God. Let's go back to last week if you were here again. Again, if you weren't, we talked mainly about a couple questions. Who are you bringing to Jesus? Who are you blocking? And it's so interesting again that people begin to hear from God's word, not my words, God's word on what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to welcome people in no matter what. Love your enemies. Love your enemies, bless those that persecute you. And they hear something, and God's speaking, and God's moving. And what do they say? They say no to God, and yes to me. So deny yourself when it comes to, there's these things, guys, that God's going to ask us as followers. There is a dream for your life that's so big you could never imagine it, never possibly in 1,000 years, the things that God wants to do in you and through you that will terrify you, even when you know that's going to take everything for you to just deny that voice that tells you no way and say yes to God. That's what deny yourself means. That's what deny yourself means. No to you, yes to God. So what's interesting also as we look at this, this is the message version. So this isn't even like, you know, that you can help yourself do this. It just comes in obedience of saying that word yes. So the message version, the same verses here. It says, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. Let Jesus lead. Not you, not your thoughts, not your opinions, not what the world says. Me, Jesus. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering, because this isn't going to be easy, guys. It's not easy to follow Jesus. Read your Bible. It's not. So don't run from the suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how. Jesus' life shows us how to embrace suffering. Self-help, which doesn't exist in the Bible, guys. It doesn't exist. Is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. We live in a self-help society, don't we? You know? And it's not that it's all bad. I get what people are trying to do, but isn't it amazing? You ever seen these sections in the bookstore, man? This self-help section? I'm gonna help you figure this out. I'm gonna help you get through this. I'm gonna help you do it. There's all kind of crazy titles now. You guys seen this one? How to Attract Women by Speaking Klingon. Fellas having some trouble with the ladies, just work on your Klingon. You're good to go. You're good to go. And speaking of dating, don't have any money? We got Dating for Under a Dollar. 301 ideas. Got this from our intern's office here. And trouble with the kids? So your son is a centaur. Coping with your child's confusing life choices. This one's mine, actually. Just kidding. All the self-help stuff, right? You know, we can tell you what to do. We can help you out with this. And Jesus, it's not self-help. Self-sacrifice. Say no to you. Say yes to me. What's written in here? The answers. That's it. And then, he no sooner gets done with this part, and he starts talking about this next thing we want to take a look at. Deny yourself. And then I need you to take up a cross. Not sometimes, but like every time you wake up, I need you to take up a cross. That's how you follow me. So again,
We nowadays, we picture Jesus on the cross. We have necklaces, right? All kind of different things. We've lost really what a cross was to these guys. And they hadn't seen Jesus on the cross. They didn't know that's how he was going to die. They're just hearing this guy that they love say, "You're going to have to pick up a cross every day to follow me." So it'd be easier for us to think about an electric chair. It'd be like here at Open Door saying, "Hey, our thing is love God, love people, and strap yourself in an electric chair every day." I mean, we'd be like, "What? That's how you're attracting people? That's really what Jesus is saying. He's talking about this instrument of death that the disciples had walked by many times. They had seen it. They got it. Romans left these up in front of their things for people to see. They wanted people to know this is what we do with criminals. We torture them. We humiliate them. We shame them. They had probably seen people in the active process of crucifixion. They would leave them there for days. It was a horrible thing. Their skeletal system would collapse on itself and bodies fill up with fluid. Horrific what these people went through that were crucified. And Jesus is telling them, "That's what I need you to do to live this thing out, to be my disciple, to follow me." And again, so what Jesus is really talking about is this fact that this message, this reality that I have, this truth is so good, I want you guys to know nothing can get in between that and you, this truth. Nothing can be on the table, guys, that will get you to quit doing this, including losing your life. Including losing your life. Because to pick up your cross means to treasure Jesus more than you treasure even your life. That you would die for this. And it's so interesting that really, Jesus, they don't even know it. He's alluding to the fact that all of these men, except one, and Judas had fallen away. But they were all going to die. A lot of them, brutal, horrific deaths. Just like Jesus for this message, for this reality. Here's what Jesus wants us to understand as followers, guys. You know what we like to do? And I've done this for a large part of my life. We try to do what's called Jesus Incorporated. Jesus Incorporated, you know? "Hey, man, I'm going to follow. I'm going to get involved with this as long as I got the time, you know? I mean, I got a little time. I'll do a little something with the J-man. That's cool, you know? I'll do a little Bible study. Hey, as long as it doesn't, you know, I mean, I tithe, but I don't really want to go above that because, I mean, Jesus wants me to have my money and take care of my family. Or as long as it doesn't affect my relationships or my career path or my retirement plans, you know, I'll incorporate a little bit of Jesus in there. I think that would be awesome, you know? To have a little bit of Jesus in my life." And that's not what he's saying for you, for me, for us that want to be disciples, true followers. It's not Jesus Incorporated. It's Jesus. Our life. It's to be our life. It's to be everything. Everything. That's what he wants for us. Paul understood this, didn't he? The Apostle Paul, when he finally found Jesus, when his life was finally changed, he was the guy persecuting the church. He was the guy going after him. His life changed so much, his name changed. He was Saul, he became Paul. And he wrote these beautiful words in Galatians. He said, "Listen, I've been crucified with Christ. Like when he died, I died. I don't even live anymore. But Christ, he lives in me. He is my life. This is what I want. The life I now live in the body, I'm still here. I'm not dead, but I live by faith. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me." Man, did he love me. Paul knew that. I hope you know that. I know that. He loved me and he gave himself for me. This is the kind of promise God's talking about. This is what he's talking about when picking up your cross. He died, I died. He lives now, the new me lives. The true self, that's who to live. Deny the old one, live the new one. Christ in me. Christ in me. So thinking about this for guys, listen, when we follow ourselves then, when we're still dead to all that, supposed to be, but we decide to listen to that voice, we listen to the thought process, we deny Jesus. He's telling us what to do. "Nah, I don't think so. Not today, not now. Feels kind of weird. I'm not going to do it." We deny Jesus. We see this again in God's word. We have this passage in 1 Timothy. It says, listen, Paul speaking again, "Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith. God has been talking to them. God told them what to do. And they just decided, I don't want to do it. So they've denied the faith. And they're worse than an unbeliever. He's saying this stuff works. You need to live it out. You need to put it into practice. You need to deny what you think and do what I'm telling you to do. Say yes to me. Let's look at, this is 2 Timothy chapter 3. Man, this one's even kind of hard to read, guys, because it hits home so hard. I want you to think about our times now. It says, mark this. There'll be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Let me take a selfie. I love myself, man. I love to see myself on the screen. I love to talk about myself. I love to complain about myself. I love myself. They'll be lovers of money. Boastful. Check me out. Proud. Ooh, looky, looky. Abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. I can't control myself. This stuff doesn't work for me. I have no self-control. I don't deny myself. I can't control myself. Brutal, not lovers of the good. Treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. I know what the Bible says. I went to Bible study and I have a Bible. And I go to church from time to time and I sing some songs. I've even got a couple worship albums I play in the car when I'm having a bad day. I've got a form of godliness. It just doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't change my life. I denied its power. Glad it works for you. Good for you. Good for you, dude. I've heard people say, John, man, I'm glad that's true for you. It's just not true for me. Glad it worked for you. It just doesn't work for me. They've denied the power of this book. Have nothing to do with such people. See, when we deny ourselves, guys, we follow Jesus. When we believe, no matter what our brain tells us, no matter what our friends tell us, no matter what the world tells us, these words, this book is truth. That's when we become true followers. See, one of the greatest things that God ever taught me was I had this place in my life where I was one of those guys that I had a form of godliness. I had trusted in Jesus, but all I did was walk around and complain about the world. Talk to my wife afterwards. She can tell you about this guy. Everything was a problem with somebody else. The government was my problem. You know, a lot of times she was my problem. My wife, if she would just get it together. My kids certainly were my problem. And my bank account was my problem. My boss was my problem because he wasn't filling up my bank account fast enough. Sound familiar to anybody? And the neighbors are the problem. And the news is the problem. And all these problems. And if people would just understand how to get it together, we wouldn't have all these problems. And God loved me enough on a night when my whole world came crashing down. Things going to haywire in my marriage. Almost divorced. And I finally listened. And he let me know, man, you want to know the problem? I'm the problem. I'm the problem. Can you say that in your own life? It's hard. I'm the problem. I'm not denying myself. Really, even in the things I think I'm doing for others are really about me. I'm the problem. I'm the problem. I'm looking at everybody else. And what God is dying for me to do is take this book and say it works. Everybody else is the problem. John, the problem is you don't believe I can change your life if you do this stuff. Because your voice is so loud. And you're looking at everybody else. And you won't deny yourself and say, I'm the problem. I. John, I want to change you. That's how I change the world. Maybe if my followers would believe this and do it and live it out, more people would want to read it and believe it, right? That's the problem, because we've got a world of people trying to walk around and save their life, and they're losing it. Isn't that what amazing how God's word says that? Isn't that what happened in that time in my life with all these problems? This problem, government, my wife, my kids, my job, blah, 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 and I'm losing it, man. I'm trying to control it all and let everyone know what the problem is. I'm trying to save my life. I'm losing it because I didn't know I'm the problem. And all of these things come up, right? You guys ever been there? everything when you're trying to save your life and you're losing your mind, you're losing it, starts to come here. Man, I don't know what to do. These kids are nuts, man. I can't control it. My marriage is falling apart. I've tried every little thing. We're still getting divorced. I don't know what to do. And man, in this process, I feel so alone. I know I've got like all this family and friends, but in this time, I just feel like I've got nobody. I feel completely empty and barren, and I'm exhausted thinking about it, what to do. And clearly, I'm not smart enough, man. I've thought it over 10 times in different ways and day and night, and I can't go on. I'm thinking just be better if I grabbed that gun, pull a bullet in it, and just ended it. Drove my car off somewhere and just ended it because I can't manage this stuff. I don't have enough. I can't get the kids to Disney. I can't pay for the college fund. I can't get my wife that ring she wants. And I can't forgive myself because I've blown it. I've blown it in life. I can't forgive myself. All this junk going on I can't manage. And you know what? Let's just say it like it is. I'm not worth loving. I'm not worth loving. Isn't that where this takes us, guys? Isn't this how we lose our life? Isn't this how we lose it? Enemy trying to take us down. I. Yes, we got to deny the I, man. I is the problem. We're all focused on ourselves, man. But thankfully, Jesus is the answer. Every problem in life, and we think there's so many, all these different things, and I don't know what to do, self-help book this, money this, and relationship this. Every answer, man, comes through Jesus, through the life of Jesus. That's why it's so amazing what it said, that we deny ourselves. You know what to be cross-eyed means, guys? Like, when you have that condition, it's called strabismus. That's the true name of it. A lot of people are affected with it. You know, Ryan Gosling, ladies, your boy Ryan Gosling has this. Denzel Washington has a form of it. Russell Crowe, Paris Hilton. And what happens with the eyes are they can't focus on one thing. They focus on different things. That's the condition that causes strabismus to be cross-eyed. But what's interesting is this is what happens when we get all spun up and we're thinking it's all this different stuff. And Jesus is saying, I want you to deny yourself, to deny the eye, all these things that you think it is. And then what I want you to do, I want you to pick up that cross. I want you to pick me up and what I've done for you in your life. And I want you to focus on that one thing. I want your eyes to be focused on the cross. I want you to have cross eyes everywhere you go. You're thinking of the cross. You're looking at the cross. You understand what the cross means to bring this message of hope and truth to people. To let your life be changed by the fact that Jesus gave his life up for yours. Pick that thing up and look at it and walk around all day, every day with cross eyes. Eyes on the cross. And when we do that, it's amazing what happens when we take our list with all these eyes again. All these things that are very real, aren't they? Very real. I've been there. It's not playing make-believe, guys. They exist. They're real. But we start to believe this. I set my own crazy thoughts down. I start digging in here. I pick up my cross. I say yes to God. And all these things change. I don't know what to do. I will direct your steps. Proverbs 3:5-6. I feel so alone. I will never leave you. I will never leave you. That's what God's word says. I'm exhausted. I will give you rest. Remember when Jesus said that? Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. I will give you rest. I'm not smart enough. I will give you wisdom. I can't go on. My grace is sufficient. Paul said, take it away. Jesus said, no. My power, that's where I make it perfect. When you're weak, dude, I get to show off for you. That's what I do. My grace is sufficient. You can't manage? I'm going to give you everything you need. That's what God's word said. I'm going to give you everything you need to live out this mission through Christ Jesus. I can't forgive myself. You don't have to. I already forgave you on the cross. It's done. You're forgiven. I forgive you. Stop listening to yourself and what you think. It's done. Deny yourself. There's no condemnation for those that are in Jesus Christ. So don't listen to it because it's not coming from me. And the last one, man, what a killer in our society today with all the posturing and charading about who people are acting like on social media in their life, and you cut down to the core, and there's so many people that at their root, in their heart, believe, I'm not worth loving. Not me. And it haunts them, and they're listening to that I, and Jesus, always, I love you. All of this, guys, every day is just about letting people know you're loved. This stuff, we can't do it on our own. And what fuels me and what should fuel you is the love and the truth and the beauty of this man that gave it all up for us and is asking us to do the same. He told us his love in John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16. He says, this is how we know what love is. This is how you become my disciple and do it. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And that's the call for you today. That's the call for me today. And just because it's the call doesn't mean you're going to do it. You got to want it. It doesn't happen automatically. I know. People ask me, you know, hey, John, do you love when you get to come up here and then do this, man? You seem like a lot of times you're like having fun on the stage. And I do, guys. I mean, I love being in here with you and doing this. But if I'm honest, and I've been honest with a lot of people, I don't love it. It's very hard for me. I'm not saying that to get you to feel sorry for me. I'm just being honest about what my mind does. I'm not Jim Inley. I can't do this. This week was particularly hard, because I had some issues go down in our house. And without getting into detail, some stuff in my family went down. And I had to be a dad. And it was, in my mind, pretty bad. We all deal with stuff like this, don't we, right? Trying to deal with the sermon. I'm trying to save my life. I'm trying to make sure I can keep this whole thing together. Now I got to deal with this. And I couldn't deal with it, man. And you know what happened? So I'm trying to save it. I'm trying to get all this stuff in order because, hey, I gotta look good, man. I'm a pastor. I can't be having problems, right? I got to save my life. And I'm losing it. I lost it on my girls. I lost it on a young man that's very important to our family. I lost it trying to save my life. Then what happens? Here come the thoughts. I can't do this. I can't preach this message. Deny yourself. Forget that. I am so in myself right now. And where do I have to go? I've got to go to that place, guys, that God wants to take you to right now. And just, for me, it's always the same. It's always the same. This morning, before I got up here, I go down to this little building, the 800 building, and I crank the speakers, and I just listen to worship music and let God remind me that he loves me. Because I can't do it. You know you can't do it. So deny that, and right now, we just want you to listen to his love wash over you. We're going to play a song. And it's just a reminder of what Jesus wants you to know. Because he does want to use you today, to become a disciple today. Say, I'm going to do this, I'm in. I'm going to stop listening to me. And he wants to remind you, I love you. I always have. I choose you just as you are. Do you want to be my disciple? You're welcome to live it out. So, Father, somebody here just needed that last line. He loves me. I needed it. And I'm so grateful that you do. And not that you love me and that you love us, but that you always have. There was no past where you didn't. You've always loved us. And you've always chosen us right now, today, where we're at. And Father, I want to just pray. In the power of the name of Jesus that goes before us in this moment, that there's anybody here. Still, after all of this, your word has been open, your spirit is moving. And there's something from last night when they were a kid. Something in their marriage. There's this thing, God, you can see it. You can see their heart. And they can't let go of it. And they can't forgive themselves. And that's what's holding them back. They can't deny it. And I pray that right now, God, through this simple song, through the power of your word, through the Holy Spirit, that for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, they would just believe that you love them and that you want to use them and that you want to change a family through their life, God, that you want to change a community through the power of their example of surrender, that the love that you had for us on the cross is the same love that you want to run through their veins, through their lungs, out their voice into the world, God. Father, we want to become disciples. We want to become followers. So let us stop at nothing. Nothing. Not even death. To pursue you. Your love is too great. Your love is too amazing. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.